Welcome in, everyone, to the midweek edition of the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. Give it that like. Give it a subscribe. You'll like all the content you can find on Ryer on YouTube. In particular, this podcast, Talking Tide, taking a look ahead tonight at that Alabama-Eastern Illinois home game, looking ahead to the CFP, a little bit of Alabama basketball talk, and, of course, we'll go around the SEC as we always do, Travis, but starting this one just a tick early tonight, Travis, so that we can get out in front of that hoops tilt against Illinois up in Chicago this evening. I know our live listeners are probably looking forward to that in a little while, but first up, of course, we'll stick with football. Here we are in mid-November, Alabama taking on Eastern Illinois, but the talk is on the CFP.
It is just a tremendous television show last night at halftime of our in-between games. Was it in-between games or halftime?
Yeah.
One of those hoops games at the Garden last night. And certainly a conversation starter around the Southeast and beyond today as that 8-9-10, how that unfolded with Alabama losing to Oklahoma, a lot of attention on that and how that would stack up Alabama behind Notre Dame. Some interesting comments by the chair of the selection committee, the newly installed chair of the committee, by the way. So I wanted your thoughts on it too.
You know, I've heard these committee chairmen kind of stumble over their ties, so to speak, on a lot of these CFP rollouts where they try to justify this team over that team. Occasionally they make some sense. I think more often than not, they just end up tying themselves into knots. But I thought Hunter Yurecek's comments were some of the worst I've heard in 11 years of the college football playoff. I mean, at the end of the day, the justification, you know, a lot of Alabama fans up in arms that Notre Dame has no business being in front of Alabama with identical records and not nearly the wins that Alabama has, and I find those complaints to be completely legitimate. I don't see how you put Notre Dame in front of Alabama, and of course, it was quite a tumble for the Crimson Tide. Six spots you lose to a top 25 team in Oklahoma that's now ranked eighth, and
right.
you tumble six spots, Travis.
Yeah, which was it? Was it a really high level quality win for Oklahoma, or was it a bad loss for Alabama? Because it spoke out of both sides of its mouth, didn't it? The
yeah.
ranking for those teams, it looked like hell of a win for Oklahoma, but man, what a bad loss.
Right.
What a bad loss for Alabama by 2 points against a team that the committee obviously valued enough to push up as far as Oklahoma did. And yeah, you're right. The comments were befuddling, I guess, one way to sort of speak to it. We start getting into granular discussions about run games and anything
yeah.
we could talk about other than quality of wins, right?
Right.
I didn't want to talk about that as much, but you know, Alabama just didn't run the ball that well. You know what? You know who Hunter's the AD of? Arkansas. You know who runs the hell out of the football this season? Arkansas. Arkansas's the second ranked rushing offense in the SEC. I don't see Hunter taking the interim tag off Bobba Petrino yet. I mean, if the run game is that damn important, Hunter,
yeah,
take the interim off Bobby. He's running for 200 yards a game.
Yeah, the run game comments reminded me of you remember in the early years of the four-team CFP, those
yeah.
chairmen would get on there and they would talk about game control. remember game control as a metric, Travis?
Yeah. yeah.
Just the silliest crap you've
Video
ever heard.
Game crap. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, but you know, that's why I always go back to and why I don't allow myself these reveals for me until the last one are typically X/Twitter social media consumption. Yeah. That's how I consume these reveals more often than not. Wake me up on the Sunday of conference championship weekend.
Yeah.
And then I'll be interested. Other than that, Chase, this is pretty much a television show up
yeah.
until that Sunday. But look, it does what it's intended to do. It gets everybody talking about it.
It's an exhibition. There's no question about it. Alabama's fate is still obviously in its hands. Auburn coming up in a couple weeks. It's a must win for Alabama. Surely they'll be out if they don't get it done on the Plains. Are they in the playoff if they beat Auburn, or must they win the SEC title to even get into the playoff? That's going to be the question, Travis. If Alabama gets over on Auburn, and you know, yours truly penned a column roughly 12 months ago advocating for the elimination of conference championship games altogether, and I may be retooling that one, but with the same sentiment coming up soon. We'll see.
It could lead to a lot of consternation, depending on how that first Saturday in Atlanta kind of plays out. And still, there is still so much that happened these next two Saturdays before we even get to that championship right. Saturday. So we'll see how it shakes out. But you know, we sort of talked about this a couple weeks ago before the Alabama-Oklahoma game. If you had to pick a game for Alabama to win in the eyes of the college football playoff people, which would it be? Would it be Auburn or would it be Oklahoma? You could pick one. You weren't going to win both. You had to pick right. one. I sort of lean more towards Auburn because of the potential for recency bias against you if you lose that game. You can beat Oklahoma back on November 15th. You lose to Auburn on November 29th, and now we see what this committee, apparently this week anyway, right. puts into bad losses.
Right.
And then you turn around and lose the next Saturday in the SEC yeah. championship game. I don't like that scenario more than I like the beat Oklahoma and then lose to Auburn, you know, or beat Auburn and lose to Oklahoma and then lose in the SEC.
It's a fine point because Alabama in losing to Oklahoma. And like you said, it's a long way off. And right now these rankings are just for show, but theoretically, Alabama was placed on the brink of playoff elimination by losing to OU, which is the number 8 team in the country per the CFP itself. Well, if you're going to go to the brink of elimination losing to OU, what would a loss to Auburn do?
That's right? what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. It almost feels like the committee, if you lose to Auburn at the time that you lose to Auburn, look at the OU loss, went like, yeah, whatever. Did you see right. that Auburn loss?
Right.
That's the value it feels like. Now, look, still a couple of 3 weeks of this. So I'm fully anticipating, because we're talking about the human element here, I'm totally expecting the goalpost to move at least two or three more times.
Sure.
Before we get to Selection Sunday.
No doubt. All right. Alabama taking on FCS Eastern Illinois this week, Travis. In advance of that Auburn game, obviously a tune-up. EIU, not even a very good FCS team. They're sitting at 3-8 on the year in that Ohio Valley Conference. They just got blown out by the Lindenwood Lions.
Well, look, you know, Lindenwood, we know. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You don't go into Lindenwood. Can anybody – I don't know where Lindenwood is. I think it's maybe Michigan, Pennsylvania, something like that. You don't just go into Lindenwood.
Google up where Lindenwood is before one of our viewers chimes in.
Yeah.
The horseshoe. On the show. We'll figure out exactly where Lindenwood is for the masses. They want to know, Travis.
Hey, that's all that matters. You're right, though. It's an FCS opponent. It's not a good FCS opponent. So for me, the scouting report is this: it needs to be easy and it needs to be injury free, because I know there's already concern maybe about Parker Brailsford, and you know, you hope that this week is more of a precautionary measure, if anything, for him. If he doesn't go at the center position for Alabama, he doesn't need to go this week. You absolutely have to have him as close to 100% against that Auburn front seven as you possibly can 1 week from Saturday night. So that's the extent of TR's preview or scouting report on Eastern Illinois. That's
yeah,
about to
Eastern Illinois just blown out by the Lindenwood Lions, who hail from St. Charles, Missouri.
Oh, see, I mean, I wasn't even close
with a stadium of 7,500 seats.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you don't just go in there
no,
and think you're going to ease right out of there with a W. But again, this game comes at a good time for Alabama. I mean, it's been, even with the bye week before LSU, it's still been a hell of a stretch. If you go all the way back to Georgia, coming off that first bye week, you jumped into Georgia and went through that stretch that took you through OU here last week. It's a very, very good time for a game like this.
No doubt about it. I think the injury factor you mentioned is really key. And I think a guy like Brailsford and a guy like Quay Rousseau represent two very different decisions for the coaching mm-hmm. staff. Let's presume that Brailsford and Rousseau are both medically cleared for Eastern Illinois. To me, you sit Brailsford, mm-hmm. but maybe you don't sit Rousseau, right? Because mm-hmm. he's been out longer, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit more rust there. Maybe you want to give Rousseau, if he's medically cleared, give him 10 or 15 snaps just to kind of get back into the flow of things and get his feet wet again, so to speak. Brailsford, on the other hand, he's not going to need that. So I would say if they're both good to go, I say you sit Brailsford, but maybe you let Rousseau play just a little bit. What do you think?
I agree. I'm with you on those. You know, I guess Rousseau last week got some pregame work. And some of those things, I would take him right back through that this week. We saw practice footage, I think earlier today, of Quay Rousseau out there, with those outside linebackers. Didn't look very limited. He wasn't in a black non-contact, although, you know, those type of things can change depending on, what that staff wants you to see at any given time. I'm with you. I don't need to see anything of Parker Brailsford in this game. But yeah, I'd like to see a quarter maybe of Quay Rousseau and just get him back into game mode a little bit before you really need to turn him loose along with Yonzi Pierre down on the plains in two Saturdays.
Speaking of Parker Brailsford, I wrote today calling for the coach and staff to just pick five and roll with him on the offensive line. Now, I guess if Brailsford sits, you can't even do that this week because he'll be plugged into the lineup, of course, at least one would hope, against Auburn. That being said, though, Travis, my gosh, I do think it's time for DeBoer and Grubb and Kapilovic to get in a room and settle on these guard spots, settle on one right tackle and say, all right, this is how we're going to finish the season with these guys, especially when you're looking ahead to playing a road game at Auburn where you know it's going to be noisy as hell. You know communication is going to be difficult up front.
Yeah, I think we heard as much from Kalen in some ways on Monday when he was asked about the right side, I think specifically, and he was very complimentary of Wilkin Formby at that right guard position, which tells me that's probably how they're just going to roll as far as this thing takes them, with Wilkin at right guard and Carroll at right tackle. You know, if Brailsford can't go, you've got a veteran like Geno Vandermark that you've cross-trained and worked at both those spots, right? Joseph Iannotta is a younger player and an experienced player you can roll in there. And that kind of leads us into, you know, some of the guys we haven't seen as much of, I guess, in general for this football team. Now, defensively, it's a little harder to go down that list because we've seen a hell of a lot of guys yeah. on the defensive side, especially early in the season. It felt like we saw everybody just about. But on that offense line, I want to see a guy like Jackson Lloyd. You know, I want to see if Caden Proctor is moving on the National Football League. How far away is Jackson Lloyd from potentially being that next guy up? And if you bring Michael Carroll back, you know, and you like those two young tackles, you could be in a very good spot next year. But sure, in terms of continuity for the rest of this season, we talked about this on the Sunday nighter. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, speaking of guys who may be moving on and going to the pros, ESPN threw out a mock draft just the other day that had three Alabama first-rounders, Ty Simpson going in the top 10. I think they had him going to the Raiders. Caden Proctor going late in the first round. I think they had him going 25th overall.
Wow.
And they popped Jeremy Bernard there at the back end of the first rounder, which – surprised me a little bit. I know he's had a heck of a year. I know he's a heck of a football player. But that was the first I've heard of him moving up into first round territory. And of course, those mocks are not to be believed all the time, especially this early. But good to see a guy like Bernard who deserves it. He deserves as good a shot as he can get in the NFL. Getting some love in that way.
It'd be great to see Jeremy Bernard go in the first round for the reasons you just outlined. That being said, and your thoughts on this, I see him in the NFL right now as an eval as more of a two and not a one.
Right.
And usually if you're taking wide receivers in round one, you're taking ones. Yeah. So I'm not sure how that lines up. But in terms of his impact on this football team, and even last year, he's been just a model. He's been a pro, put it that way.
Yeah.
The way he does his business, he carries himself. If I'm an NFL team, maybe that pushes him up for me because I feel like I'm getting a guy that already gets it in terms of being a professional.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think one trait that is common among just about every first-round pick at wide receiver in the NFL draft is they all can beat you deep. And I don't know that Jeremy's got that straight vertical burner speed that's going to leave a pro cornerback in the dust necessarily. And he can do everything else, as we've seen at Alabama. And so for that reason, I'll be a little bit surprised if he's a first-round pick, but I will not be at all surprised if he goes in that on that day two, round two, three range.
You know, he kind of reminds me of, this is going back a ways. I'm guilty of this a lot here on the channel, but he kind of reminds me of Hines Ward coming out of Georgia. Mm-hmm. The way that Georgia utilized Hines Ward and how he was not afraid of the physicality, wasn't necessarily a burner. They lined Hines Ward up in the backfield. Hines Ward was a high school quarterback. I think that was Jeremy Bernard's kind of background as well.
Right.
And Hines Ward was a third-round pick. And you think about Hines Ward in retrospect, the career he had with the Steelers.
Yeah.
He got a hell of a lot of value as a third-rounder. So if Jeremy isn't a first-round pick, I could still see a path, a scenario for him where somebody gets a lot of value out of that guy.
No question about it. All right, moving on here with the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Going to thank our listeners and viewers really quickly and encourage you to contribute to Parker Covers Alabama, a nonprofit 501c3 supporting wheelchaired Alabama residents. You can do it at parkercoversalabama.com. It's a great charity. We would appreciate any contributions there. The Talking Tide podcast on Ryer on YouTube. Travis, we'll stick with football. We'll zip through some of the top games in the league this weekend, and then we'll finish off with a little bit of basketball talk as we sign off and get ready for Alabama to take on Illinois here in a little while. Missouri, Travis, is going to be on the road at Oklahoma. I don't think that's a gimme for the Sooners. It's possible Bo Prabula is going to be back for the Tigers. We'll see on that. Of course, they just got a monster game from Ahmad Hardy last Saturday, 300 yards, for goodness sakes, from the best running back in the league. So I think that one could be tight. You've also got Kentucky going on the road at Vanderbilt. It's a must win for the Commodores if they're going to stay in the playoff picture. Arkansas going on the road at Texas, as the aforementioned Bobby Petrino looks to pick up his first interim win of the year. And then lastly, hard to believe I'm mentioning this game last here in mid-November, Travis, but Tennessee at Florida, a game that and yours and my heyday, they used to call it the Southern Super Bowl. It was that mid-September game, and it was, in the Werfel Manning era, it was kind of the game of the year in the league. And now we're kicking that thing off in mid-November, and who's paying attention, right?
It is. It was. Yeah. Back. You're right. When that game was in September, that was the gateway game for the SEC East. The winner of that was pretty much going to be locked in to a spot in the SEC championship game. Not so much. I think the slate this week, other than teams that are still in it, where the college football playoff is concerned, like Oklahoma with the matchup they have. Otherwise, like Texas, Arkansas, you mentioned Florida, Tennessee, a lot of sort of psyche games, makeup games. Where are these teams at, knowing that they're pretty much playing out the string at this point? With Ahmad Hardy, I'm just worried if he's tired from all those yards he put on Mississippi State last week. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I'd have said, I don't really like that matchup for Missouri. But if Prabula can just give them some level of quarterback play, and I thought Alabama actually ran the ball better against Oklahoma than I was expecting, maybe Hardy can do some big things. And I don't think offensively, Oklahoma's a big mystery. And I think Missouri can get after you enough on defense. I'm with you. I think that could be an interesting game in Norman.
No doubt about it. UK going to Nashville. Vanderbilt sitting at 14th at 8-2. They're on the outside looking in with that playoff, at least based on the CFP rankings. But they've got Tennessee after Kentucky. Beating Kentucky's not going to give them a jolt, really, I don't think. Beating Tennessee might give them a little jolt. They're still worth watching those Commodores.
They are. They need help. They do. It wouldn't hurt them if Alabama lost to Auburn, right?
And Missouri beat
Beat Oklahoma, and Mississippi State beats Ole Miss, and some of the things that, you know, could still happen out there. So that's a big sort of two-game stretch for Vanderbilt in terms of precedent for that program, though. I mean, 10 wins for Vanderbilt would be humongous, and to do it especially at the hands of Tennessee in that last game would certainly be monumental. Same thing for, you know, we say there's not much, but Josh Heupel could use a couple wins here over Florida and Vanderbilt to cap a 9-3. He's not in any kind of trouble, but that would certainly keep him in extremely good graces with that fan base.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, before we wrap it up, Travis, Alabama basketball trying to rebound from that
literally
loss to Purdue. Taking on Illinois in Chicago. Of course, they beat St. John's on the road. Looked really impressive doing it. They come home to take on Purdue. I went to that Purdue game. Electric atmosphere in Coleman Coliseum. It was pretty much packed out for midweek November action. But they absolutely could not get a rebound against a much bigger and stronger Purdue team. And Illinois is kind of similar. Nate Oates mentioned in his press conference ahead of this game that Illinois might be even bigger in the front court than Purdue.
And versatility in their front court, guys that can step out and knock down some shots too, kind of draw you away from the bucket. But absolutely, you're going to expect literally a rebound from Alabama in this game tonight. I don't know about you. I get the neutral site games. It's kind of like college football, especially early in the season. You get games at the United Center. You get games, certainly. Other than Madison Square Garden, though, they just don't do it for me. I'd rather these games be played on campus. Like you talked about the electric atmosphere for Purdue, Alabama. You think about Alabama in Champaign tonight, you know, taking on Illinois and how different that would be. So even the game before Alabama, Illinois tonight, Arizona in stores taking on UConn on campus, top five teams. That's what you like to see, but you also understand how it kind of works.
You do. Thoughts on Alabama matchup-wise against Illinois? Obviously, rebounding is going to be with a huge emphasis in practice, you know, they need more out of Noah Williamson from a rebounding perspective. I think Aiden Sherrill's a guy. I mean, Williamson and Sherrill are a couple of the only true bigs they've got. I think we're going to see a lot of minutes from Sherrill this year, especially here in this non-conference part of the way. And it looks like Collins Ojinyakia, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, the young 6'11 kid, he's indefinitely out with some kind of physical issues. So a little thin in the front court. It's going to take some help from the small forwards and guards to get out there and do some rebounding too. Oates mentioned that. The guards are got to get in there and fight for some rebounds also.
No doubt. I think, you know, hopeful too, maybe to get Keaton Bristow back.
He's a go.
He is a go. Okay. 6'10", that might help. You're right, though. I still think you got to offset a lot of that with your guard play. I mean, your guys are Holloway and Filon. So that's the guys that are still going to make this thing go, especially early in the season, until you get some of those other guys more incorporated into what you are and who you're going to be. That's, I think, we see it from our friend Hans here in the show chat. He says, might need 20 trays tonight against this Illinois team. We'll see.
We shall see, of course, following the Illinois game, the gauntlet of a non-conference schedule that Nate Oates put together rolls on, Travis. They're going to be going to Las Vegas for a tournament, going to catch Gonzaga out there in the desert. They're going to play UNLV out there, and who knows who else. And then, of course, you mentioned Arizona taking on the Wildcats in Birmingham in mid-December. So no rest for this Alabama team non-conference-wise.
Not scared Nate, I call him. Yeah. He's not any place, anywhere, anytime. He's willing and ready to go. And, you know, he understands. He's trying to get his team ready for SEC play, which is going to, once again, be an absolute gauntlet. And then bigger picture, the NCAA tournament.
All right, there you have it. That is going to do it for the midweek edition of the Talking Tide podcast. Be sure to join Travis and I on Sunday night when we recap Alabama's home game against Eastern Illinois. We'll look forward to the Iron Bowl a little bit in that show, and, of course, do it a whole lot more next Wednesday when we reconvene for the midweeker. So until then, for Travis Ryer, I'm Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News. We will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tide.